listening to the Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 388. Killer Lord's here with the one, the only, the you were too cute listening to your dog snorty snort snort in the background, thinking, I could tell on your face, you thought, she is so precious.
She
John
is.
John Brownstone. I know, she's your baby.
All my girls are precious.
Some of us are hot messes. Not naming names, but you know, Onyx comes to mind. Couldn't be me, not me. Look, full disclosure, I am the hottest mess in his life. Have I broke down in tears twice in 2 days because I hurt my own feelings? Sure.
I'm going to give up trying to drink my coffee or it's going to go everywhere.
You should just stop now. Yeah. I am apparently in a mood. I don't know what this is about.
So it would seem.
Yeah. None of that is what we're here for today. But would it be us if we did not have a chaotic start? No. You would wonder what was wrong with us. Like, did we get the good drugs? Did we get the bad drugs? Like, what happened to us? Do we not have enough coffee? I don't know. What we're actually here to do before we go on break, I know there was a rambly, chaotic semi-discussion in last week's episode. We're going on break next week. So before we do that, we are going to respond, react, whatever, to kinky hot takes and unpopular opinions that were shared with us over on Instagram at yes. That handle I fucking hate, that will hate for the rest of my days. I will be 99, withering away, like, in a bed, dehydrated, great-grandchildren going, what's wrong with Granny? And I'll be muttering about a fucking handle I ever. Anyway.
Oh goodness.
But yeah, we're gonna respond to hot takes, unpopular opinions. What I have found a lot of time is most people don't actually have unpopular opinions. They're not the most, they're sometimes very common opinions, and sometimes it's one of those things where there's a divide but we'll still talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Monday and Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the show on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC on Instagram and Threads. That handle I will forever fucking hate. LovingDS and the number one, so it's at LovingDS1. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. A big thanks, as always, to our kinky patrons over on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We are able to keep doing whatever the fuck this is on the internet in large part because of our kinky patrons, and we are grateful for every fucking one of you. Oh my god. If you'd like to join our kinky community and get access to extra content and a Discord server with a group of super cool, super nice kinksters, you can do that. Just join us on Patreon at patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes.
And you know, in regard to that handle you were forever fucking hate.
Forever fucking hate.
You know, a therapist would tell you, you need to let it go. You need to let it go.
I mean, maybe I need to, but I'm not gonna. This is my white whale. Call me Ishmael, okay?
Well, okay then. Enough said.
Before we get into the actual episode, a couple of announcements. One, this Friday, March 15th, I think is the actual date. Somebody look at a calendar. At 9:30 p.m., we will be going live on YouTube for our monthly virtual munch BDSM Q&A thing that we do once a month. If you are not currently subscribed to our YouTube channel, that's a good idea, because sometimes YouTube will let you know when we've gone live if you're subscribed. But also, if you're a podcast listener, the link will be in the show notes. And if you're subscribed to our newsletter, the link will be there. We will try to do everything in our power to make sure that people can get to the live stream this Friday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
And it is confirmed the 15th.
Good. I actually remembered a date. I'm very proud of me. Next, we chaotically discussed it in last week's episode, as we do everything. Everything we do is chaotic. We are going to take a week off, not the week that this episode is out, but the following week. You will get a Monday video / podcast episode. There just won't be one the following Monday. No newsletter next week, that kind of stuff. Yeah, we just try to do it every few months to like just take a breath to avoid burnout. And we almost we try to do it once a quarter, and March is usually the month we take our first one of the year. Normally we plan it out before the year even starts. Mm-hmm. And what is time? What are calendars? What are days? I don't know. We do not do that. So we are flying by the seat of our pants as usual. Okay. So all that being said, we're going to get into hot takes, unpopular opinions. What I have found is that every once in a while there's something that I would go, ooh, that is a little bit of an unpopular opinion. But most of the time people think they're unpopular opinions, or they just don't know enough people who would agree with them. It's okay. Like there really are people who probably agree with you. You just haven't come across them yet. So we're just going to go through these and see how many we get through. The first one is just a question, actually.
Okay.
Breath play? Question mark. Breath play does definitely have a divide of people who are like, never, ever, ever do it, ever, for never, ever.
Right.
And then the others who are like,
bring it.
Bring it. And oh, and then there's this third middle group. It's not middle, but this third outlier that's like, we have to talk about it before we choke a partner? What are you talking about? And that is most commonly talked about outside of kink circles. I'm sure it's not just the non-kinksters who think that what they saw in porn is how sex goes, but it is there are headlines and surveys being done. It is a very common thing for people to be choked non-consensually.
Mm-hmm.
And for people to also to think that they're not kinky. And I'm like, you're literally cutting off somebody's oxygen. I don't know what gets kinkier than that. but breath play question mark? Where are you at on that?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we we play within very specified parameters
of it, yes.
I have anxiety to, like, the nth degree, and feeling like something is too close to my throat can send me into a hyperventilating panic attack. Mm-hmm. So we don't play. There's no actually cutting off my air. And I think, quite frankly, I know there would be people out there who would play with cutting off air, but there most of the time I think the majority of people are probably just it's play. More,
yeah.
It's just a holding the neck. Yeah. Breath play is a very risky way to play. People
Correct.
Absolutely can and do you, die you from it.
Need to know your P's and Q's for that one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a beginner level activity. I don't think so. I don't care what your porn and your erotica try to tell you. No. I think the biggest problem is because it is all kinks have risk. All kink activities yes. have some level of danger to them. But breath play is literally cutting off somebody's oxygen, and it is one of, like, in my mind, one of the top tier dangerous ones, where there's just so much risk associated with it that for the average person, I would never recommend it. I think that a person who wants to study it is very careful, takes mm-hmm. their time. Like, are there those people who can play, there's a word, I can't think of the word, can manage the risk and take it seriously, play responsibly? Yes. Just think there's way too many more people who don't even, they're like, oh, sure, you know, oh, what, you blacked out, my bad, like, I, but yeah. Okay, next one. We talk too much about bad DOMs and TOPs, but we don't talk enough about what makes the good ones. Here's the thing. We have to talk about the bad ones because they're dangerous and abusive. Yeah. The big problem I see is that too many abusers and grotesque people use the language and the lack of education to be found in kink to mm-hmm. do nefarious things. And then you get people who in other parts of their life would be very discerning and very like not trusting anything, who are like, well, they told me that my needs didn't matter and I was basically their doormat. Is that normal? And it's like, ah, you know, you found a walking red flag and you're asking me if that's normal, because BDSM is seen as this dark, violent thing. And so when somebody is dark and violent with you, even though you fucking hate it, you go, well, maybe that's what kink is.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be, but it usually isn't. So I know why we talk about bad doms and tops more often.
Yeah.
I can't say all the things. What are you thinking? What do you want to say?
I mean, good doms, yeah. I would say, you know, some of the qualities of a good dom is, you know, one, someone who has empathy.
Sure.
Okay, I think that's very important in the things that we do. Someone who's willing to learn.
Right.
And to me, one of the most important aspects is willing to admit when they are wrong.
Right. And, I think I do agree that it is important to talk about those things, because it's not just enough to know what not to look for, but to, like, what to be looking out for, and to go, oh, yes, this is a person who can probably be a responsible dom or top. I think that what we need is balance, right? And we've done that. We've absolutely done our red flag episodes, and I'm here to rant anytime somebody tells me a fucked up situation. But also, yeah, let's talk about, you know, how you become the kind of dom or top that people want to be partners with, and what that means and what that looks like. Because you do, it's not enough to know what to avoid. You got to kind of know what to go look for as well.
Right.
Because quite frankly, you can be a not bad dom and still be a mediocre dom, like, and still be a not great dom. Mm. And the amount of responsibility that comes with power exchange, I mean, we should be striving to get maybe a little bit past mediocrity, is all I'm saying. Your best really is good enough. Like, actually, let's give our best here. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a balance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bodily fluids create spiritual bonds. What say you?
You know, I, going back to my days of living on a commune.
That's right. I always forget that you lived on a commune.
There was the belief that when you were intimate, when you were sexual with somebody, that you then took a part of them and they took a part of you. It was like an exchange of energy.
Sure.
So, you know, to a certain extent, I do believe that. Okay. And, you know, bodily fluids, the first thing my mind went to was, you know, like golden showers and things like that.
God. Oh, no, that's never my mind at all. You know, okay.
and that for me is a big no. You know, do I think bodily fluids, whether, you know, as they would say one time, you know, swapping spit, you know, and you're kissing or anything else. I don't think it's so much the fluid.
It's the intimacy.
It's the intimacy. It's the people involved.
Yeah. My thought is, for me, no. For me, no. I don't even really want body fluids touching me, mine or anybody else. It's like, I get squicked out. It's a thing. It's a me thing. Mm-hmm. So I personally do not see it that way. That being said, anybody can absolutely feel that way. The thing I would caution against, though, is about changing it from how you feel about it. If that's how you feel, I celebrate that. I want that for you. Go forth, be happy. But the thing to remember is that not all kink and power exchange is sexual. And so in many cases, people are not swapping bodily fluids and can still have their own spiritual bond. Sometimes we have to realize that when we say emphatically, this thing is this, We mm-hmm. are implying that not doing that thing cannot be that. And a spiritual bond, an exchange of energy, however you want to define that, mm-hmm. can be created in all kinds of ways. For some people, that's a body fluid swap, and y'all go have a good time. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
For others, it's the give and take in other ways, the things that are shared in this moment that don't involve sex, don't involve body fluids, that involve something else. And so, it to me, it's like, that's somebody's view on it, and so that's their view. My view is just that, yeah, but it's not just that. There are other ways to have some kind of bond, however you want to mm-hmm. define it, that is just as strong and just as meaningful without yeah. being sticky. Here's one.
Okay.
Most doms or daddies are at best tops. They're tops. They're not really doms. Yeah. That's basically what it's saying. I'm going to assume you haven't met any good ones who know what the fuck they're about. That's the only thing I can imagine. Are there people who call themselves doms and daddies who do not take the responsibility and are not taking the power or having control and carrying the load of mm-hmm. And yes, they are more there are. Of course. Yeah. However, I don't think it's most. I think it's probably like, I don't know. I don't even think you could quantify it. Some of them, sure, but not all of them. And also from the outside looking in, you might not think a person has control over their submissive because of the way a submissive is behaving or speaking or what mm-hmm. they're doing and the interplay you see from the outside looking in, but you do not know the dynamic on the inside to know the meaning behind that. You and I get playful. There are many people on Al Gore's internet who think that I am too mouthy, not submissive, bossy as fuck. They're right, okay? To every fucking body else, they are damn straight right. The thing is that JB likes this part of me, and I can be this way. And from the mm-hmm. outside looking in, you'd be like, there's no fucking way she's submissive. He just lets her do whatever she wants. And yet, what you don't see is the moment he's done with it. Or the private moment where he's like, no, this is not the time for this. And we have a completely different energy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're basing that opinion on what you see from the outside looking in, you actually know nothing. Right. If you're basing it on your own experiences with people who didn't take the responsibility seriously, I hate that for you because that will jade you. That will make you mm-hmm. think, oh, these people don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's not real.
Now, see, in my mind, and this is my own way of looking at this, dom is a dom, top is a top, sadist is a sadist. Mm-hmm. Now, you can be a combination of all those things.
Right.
Or you can be a top, and in which case, in my mind, you are doing a scene with somebody, you were playing with somebody, but you are technically not their dominant. Mm-hmm. You can be a sadist and whip the hell out of somebody, you know, truss them up like a...
Sure, cause pain and whatever.
Yeah, you know, and any of that. And not be a say or a dominant, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then you have a mix of all of the things.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think it's hard to know from the outside looking in. I do think the online world of kink leaves room for people who just think they're saying the right words but mm-hmm. don't understand any of what goes into it to proliferate. And then, of course, if that's kind of all we're witnessing and all we're around, then that, you know, that bubble becomes our reality and we think it is always like that all of the time. Mm-hmm. No. But yeah. So I would disagree with that. I could see where somebody would get to that mm-hmm. opinion, but my experience is not just with our own relationship, just witnessing other people who there's other doms, you know, and tops whose style is completely different from yours. Mm-hmm. When I see them interacting with their partner or talking about their power exchange, you know, when it comes from a place of authenticity, there's no doubt in my mind their methods would be something I would never fucking want and don't work for me. But like, I, you know, I don't know. I think when you see it in real life, whether for yourself in your own relationship or amongst other mm-hmm. people, And when I say real life, like, you just see something authentic. Online or in person, doesn't matter. I think you just know, you know.
Yeah. And somebody brought up, what about doms that prefer bottoming?
I mean, yeah. Those people exist.
I mean, it exists. Absolutely.
Right. But I think this opinion was more like they're not really in power or have control. Mm-hmm. They're just doing what the bottom wants, and they're just topping. And not always.
Right. Yeah, no.
Okay, here's one. Male doms think that femdoms hate men. Are there toxic men who think that? I'm sure. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There are people outside of kink who think that femdoms hate men. I mean, that absolutely. I've witnessed that for myself. I don't know. The communities I've been a part of where there's been a mix of genders for the dominance out there, I've seen sometimes uneasy respect. And then I've seen some like just... The doms just getting one another and vibing, even if they're not besties. And that's, you know, any gender that showed up that happened to be a dom, they were like, no, you're fine. You're good. And that opinion, whether it's held by male doms or anybody else, does assume that femdoms only dominate men. And that's not true either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, do I think that there are femdoms out there that dislike men? Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
I have to say from my experience, I don't think that is the absolute norm at all.
No.
You know, I've been around the lifestyle long enough, you know, and seen enough mix of people to say that, you know, no, that's not the case.
I know. I think it also has to do with the environment and the community that's being built up. Can there be a community of people where that becomes almost a quote norm because there's just enough people who do feel that way? Yes. But then we go back to the bubble, where the bubble you're in becomes your reality. And that is not reality. There's just too many different types of people out there. And so then it's about, okay, well, who are you associating with and who do you happen to be around and who's in your community? If that has become commonplace enough for you to think that that is true for most people, everybody, whatever. Because I easily have the very anecdotal, you know, experience of going, no, I've been in a few communities now. And no, that was not the vibe I got at all, you know, that not, you know, is there sexism and misogyny? And there are still way too many male doms who, you know, are misogynists and sexist and all the ists.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And so that is a thing that you can't ignore it. Yes, there will be those guys who think that anybody who is a female dominant must hate men. Yes, they will think that because they're just going to think that about any situation where they do not perceive the man to be in charge or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those people exist. But I think as you know, attitudes slowly change and we are all exposed to just more and different types of people, those attitudes, not fast enough, not big enough, but they are fading away. And I just don't, I think there might, maybe there was a time that was the norm, but I just don't think so.
No.
I just don't think so. Okay. Next one. DS 24/7, 24/7 DS has helped me be a more confident man.
Yeah.
Can't argue with somebody else's experience, first of all, but never. But do I think that kind of power exchange can increase confidence? Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would stand behind that statement. Is it true for everyone? Probably not. But I think it's something that definitely has merit to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would be concerned if any power exchange did not increase one or both or all the partners' confidence at least a little bit. If you are not being uplifted, that was the term I wanted, in your relationship, I mean, I know I'm going to going to sound very Pollyanna when I say this, but what the fuck are we even doing here? Now, there's certainly a thing about just getting your rocks off and just getting your needs met and just it not being that deep or serious. That's fine. That's fine. But when I think about power exchange, in this case, a 24/7 situation, that is an all-encompassing, that's a very intense, deep thing. And if everybody involved is not feeling at some point more confident, then there are problems. There's communication issues. There's imbalances that are not healthy. There's another word I want. What are words? You know, there's something going on there that maybe needs more time or just needs more care and attention, or there's an incompatibility. But I was looking at my screenshot here and then it went away. Okay. What do you have anything else to add to that? Here's one. You can have more than one D type, in parentheses it says for polyamory and ethical non-monogamy. So I'm curious, do they mean that in a non-monogamous situation, a person can have multiple DOMs, or the way I read it originally, are they saying that one DOM can have multiple ways of being in a power exchange because they have multiple partners? So like you might be a daddy dom to me and you're a blah-de-blah to somebody else. I don't know which they mean.
Well,
how do you take it?
I'm taking it as they mean that they have
multiple
DOMs. Because they're referring to it in a polyamorous way.
I think it's more complicated. I think that your communication, not just with the two people in the power exchange, but across the partnerships, has to be on lock. Like it has to be, you have to, even if you don't start here, you got to get to a superior form of communication. Because if I'm a submissive with two DOMs and daddy DOM tells me to do this thing, but then blah de blah DOM tells me to do that thing, and they contradict, who the fuck do I listen to?
Right. And I would think that in a case like that, somebody having multiple DOMs, they're probably looking at it. One DOM is able to supply one type of power exchange, the other
one would hope.
That's
ideal, I think.
And I think what a lot of that would come down to was there's got to be some really good communication. Some really good, boundary setting and time management for that.
Lord, I know. Oh my gosh, I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's way more complicated than average.
It's not impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible if you really put your mind to it. it would take a lot of communication and juggling.
Yeah, I think it's going to be much more complicated. I don't think it's common. I think maybe some people try it and they go, oh, this is much harder than I thought it would be. This is not like the smut I was just reading on my Kindle. Like, look, I love me some fiction where two big D dominant partners like just tear that submissive up. I'm fucking here for it. But also, we get to gloss over a lot of like points of tension in those situations.
Now, take that to another level and, two DOMs co-topping.
Right. Like now, I mean, that's kind of my ultimate fantasy. And then we all three end up in just a pile, a sweaty, sweaty pile. But please don't get your body fluids on me because I'm going to get squicked out. In me, fine. On me, no. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But in that situation, then the two DOMs, it's a teamwork thing.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely see that working in a situation where, let's say it's three or more people in a relationship together, and the DOMs find their way to work with one another.
Sure.
And I think that's,
and they would have to.
Much more possible.
They
much,
would have to.
It's all possible, but probably easier to do than I'm in this power exchange with you and you're my dom, but mm-hmm. also I'm in this power exchange over here with this person and they're my dom, and you don't work together. The relationship,
the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, yes. so to speak. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think yep. that's where the complications can absolutely occur. Hmm. Okay, next one. We need more research as to why we like getting hit / why people like hitting.
Yes and no.
Yeah, do we need it? I don't know. Yeah. Would we like it?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that, you know, maybe some research, especially if it's research that, you know, okay, well, maybe there's something to this and it's not as bad as, you know, some make it sound. It's, you know, in that kind of aspect.
And so the research, and I'm not aware of all of the kink research out there, so there's going to be something I don't know about. Mm-hmm. There's definitely something I don't know about. But the research that I have gotten to come across and read about, even if I've never read yeah. the actual study itself, tends to be, there's a bit of how many people actually like this to show that it is not as aberrant and like weird as most people believe. Like, it's a little bit more common than people think. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of know that, I think, because we are coming across each other as kinksters in the wild. Like, we know that we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
But that's some of the research that I've heard about or seen. The other that I've seen is what happens chemically in our body. Like, there have been studies on essentially what is subspace, right? Yeah. And it's about the hormones and the chemicals, that the reaction that occurs mm-hmm. in our brain and our body when we feel sensations of a type. And quite frankly, some of those sensations, not always obviously, but the ones that are most commonly studied, I think, based on what I've seen, have come from impact, because there's a little bit mm-hmm. of, what do you mean you want to be hit? But also, what does this feel like, right? And yeah. so it's not about the why we're hitting one another. It's about what we're feeling when we get hit, right? If, mm-hmm. to be on the receiving end. And those studies have absolutely gone, oh, look at all the feel-good endorphins and hormones that get released. Why wouldn't you like that? If you right. enjoy it, this is what's happening in your brain. And then that becomes a feedback loop of, I liked that experience I had, so I will do it again to get, you know what I mean?
Right.
The thing that would make me concerned about researching why we hit / want to be hit mm-hmm. is if it is a study or research that has some shades of shame to it, like, why are we like this? This is yeah. bad. We shouldn't like that. That kind of study, I'm going to be very skeptical about. I'm going to be like, mm-hmm. wait, did people who are kink aware perform this, or was this coming from a place right. of, we shouldn't like this, so I have to study like what kind of trauma yeah. happened to you, and that's why you like it?
That and there kind of there again too, you know, that there's the diff, that would be the difference between, say, and I can't think of the name, the one of the more popular ones, but a magazine, you know, rolling out a study
sure, sure.
like this, as opposed to maybe some psychologists.
Right, right.
All right.
Who have a vested interest in, no, but really, why do people like that? Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing I would be skeptical about, maybe, or mm-hmm. I'd be most interested if a study came out tomorrow, or I was made aware of one, about yeah. why we like to get hit or be hit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who those people are that studied it, what their original hypothesis was, and like, why? What's their why? Because if mm-hmm. their why is to figure out why we're all weird freaks, I'm that's a bias there that I nope. I'd be very concerned about how this study happened.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more of a, no, people definitely like this, and there's not just one clear reason, because it's not all about trauma, right?
Right.
It's, for some, sure it is, but not for all of us. So what is this about? What is happening within the body and the mind when this happens? I'm interested in that kind of research, because I find that fascinating. I also think, though, that it's okay for people to go, I don't really give a fuck why I'm like this. I just enjoy it because I like it.
Yeah. Right? And many times that's enough for folks. And and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right. So, okay. Next one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is so far, the closest to what I would consider an unpopular opinion or a hot take that we've seen so far. Everyone should switch at least once to get the full picture. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want that. No, thank you. You can keep that.
Yeah. You know what? There are people who follow that.
That's an old guard kind of thing.
That's an old guard kind of thing. Because before you can become a dominant in old guard, you had to work your way up from the bottom of the ranks and learn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even myself, you know, when I came into when I found that there was a lifestyle all those years ago.
are we barreling down on 30 years at this point?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
30 years.
You know, because of the rhetoric I came into online, you know, I thought I was in no way, shape, or form at that time dominant.
Sure, because the pictures of dominance, you didn't fit that. Yeah,
did not fit that. I, you know, mm-hmm. I did not have, you know, in the chat rooms and such, I did not have that arrogance that a lot of them come across with. So, you know, it's like, oh, that's not me. I can't be that. And, you know, yeah, I was a sub for a while. Didn't work out. Didn't last very long.
How did you feel while you were doing that? Like, did it feel good at any point? Did it feel weird?
It did feel good.
Okay.
But, you know, there came a breaking point, and it gave me the insight, was like, okay, well, I did not like being treated that way. Mm-hmm. But it gave me an insight of how I want to, going forward, how I want to treat somebody.
Right. And you had that experience because of the community came into it, the time that you came mm-hmm. into it. However, having had that experience, knowing that while you can probably bottom, you're not really submissive. Am I speaking correctly on that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you then say, okay, I've had the experience and I know how I benefited from it.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I felt during it. Everybody should have to do that, though. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No.
That's the once we start talking in absolutes, everyone should. I'm almost out right there. Mm-hmm. No, everyone should not. Well,
yeah. No, I agree.
And I think that we should celebrate people wanting to. I think there's, mm-hmm. you know, when a submissive wants to switch and try their hand at doming or topping, I think that is more readily accepted. And I'm sure there are all kinds of reasons, probably societal and maybe even misogynistic if you happen to, you mm-hmm. know. And, but when we talk about a dom who's like, well, I'm definitely dominant, but sure, I'll try this, mm-hmm. right? In some places and in good, open, warm, caring communities, people are like, yeah, do you, baby. It's great. But there are absolutely pockets of people online and in person who are like, well, that makes you less dominant in some way. Which then I'm like, wait, if you were going to not respect a dominant who wants to try out submission to explore, to see what it feels mm-hmm. like, does that mean, and you don't respect them anymore, does that mm-hmm. mean you don't actually respect your submissive? Like, I got questions at that point.
You know, there was a time in the community, if a dominant wanted to switch mm-hmm. and bottom, they had to travel to a different city because of the stigma that they would get from their local community.
Right. And I think some of that still exists.
Some of it does, but I don't think as much as it used to.
No. And I don't think so either, but I still think that exists, and so people are going to come across it. What I'm saying is, if you want to try the other side to know mm-hmm. what it feels like, I celebrate that and support that.
Sure.
However, if you're like, mm-hmm. like my reaction to it is almost hard limit level, then there should not be an expectation that you have to do it.
I mean, at that point, could almost say being a switch is the holy grail because you do both and you get perspectives on each side.
Switches have every right to feel like they are the pinnacle because they get to do both sides. That's fine by me. I know how I am made and I know how I am not made, okay? Mm-hmm. I already know what happens to my brain within 30 seconds of initiating. We're screwed if you want me to go past 30 seconds. Now,
that being said,
I do think when we're talking about sensations that mm-hmm. a dom or top is going to have, make their submissive experience, I think they should have an idea of what that feels like. We've talked about that, you know, mm-hmm. if you're testing out, if you're about to hit buy a new paddle, right, and you want to hit somebody with it, hit your own damn leg or your arm first just to get a sense of what this feels even like.
Right.
You want to pour hot wax on somebody, try it on your own arm. Not like in a crazy way, not in a do a whole scene, but like just
try
get
it.
A sense of what you're going to ask somebody else to experience.
Yeah.
Knowing that a person who enjoys that will have a different reaction than you might have. Quite frankly, you might find you like it. You never know. I do believe in that. I think mm-hmm. when you're going to apply sensation to somebody else, especially a painful sensation, but any sensation, you should have, as the dom or top, you should have an idea of what that person's about to experience.
Yeah.
I do believe that. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. There's so much abuse that is rarely addressed. It's not unique to BDSM, but it's easier for abusers to deflect. Yes, if abuse was called out and dealt with swiftly every time it occurred everywhere in kink, we would not have half the content we fucking have.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to tell people what a mm-hmm. red flag is. We wouldn't have to go back to that previous hot take, opinion, whatever. We wouldn't have to focus so much time on here's what a bad dom looks like, because they would get dealt with the moment their true color showed even a little bit. And no, that doesn't happen. I mean, we were in a community that we felt really good in, and we, you know, for the most part until things happened, really respected the leader of that community, but we also watched her keep an abusive, air quote, dom. I would never consider him a good dom at all mm-hmm. around, and her
thought was that by keeping him around and allowing him to play
and to go to
her mund and dungeon was a way of keeping people safe, because people in the community could then keep an eye on him rather than shun him from the community and right. have him go off and take these people in private to who knows where and just do who knows what.
And yet, the thing is, he could do that at any fucking point if he wanted to.
True.
And the part that always bothered me was I never had direct interaction with or got to see anything where I could stand up and go, what the fuck are you doing? The people who did, though, like, I was like, where are you? What are you doing? Why are we not saying something? There have been, over the years since I've been aware that I am kinky, that huge things will come out in a community. It happened semi-locally to us, and then I've seen it happen around the U.S. at least, where a prominent figure in that community who's an educator, who's a leader, who's an organizer of things, who's just known in their community and beyond, gets accused of, or is, there's not even just an accusation, there is eyewitness testimony left, mm-hmm. right, and center about bad shit that happened, and it completely divides a community, because right. there's the people who are like, why the fuck would we allow this abuser to have this prominence in our community? And then there's the other half that's like, well, I don't really believe they could be that kind of person. And yes, it's problematic in all parts of our society. We as human beings have not figured out the best way to handle it, I don't think, not consistently. I don't have brilliant ideas about how to handle it all, other than calling shit as I see it and trying to educate people so they know what they're dealing with when they come across it. You know, it's also for the air quote doms, the people who just use the language and the whatever of BDSM to be abusive. You know, the online world makes that easier. The lack mm-hmm. of normalization and education makes that easier. You can say the right things in one situation and then get into another and flip a switch. And then there's, you know, as there has ever been when it comes to abuse of any mm-hmm. nature, there's shame involved, where people don't necessarily want to say something or think that they can say something. And it is, that's probably the one place I'm not like little Miss Mary Sunshine optimist about. It is, it's an ongoing thing and problem.
Yeah.
And I don't have any solutions or answers.
I don't think there are any concrete
There's answers. No easy ones.
I think in some cases, you know, like with what we were talking about with the person in the community, I think it's something that's a, how do you say it? Like, you know, case by case.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. There is a, you know, our community does police itself. I've seen things, you know, people be called out for bad behavior. It happens. And yeah, there tend to be a divide.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when somebody is called out, you know, you hope a person will own it. You hope mm-hmm. a person will change their ways. And sometimes they do. But at the yeah. same time, the people who were either affected by it or who had to, you know, bore witness to it, they don't have to forgive and forget, and they don't have to, you know, accept that person back either. And that's another sort of pain point that I don't think we deal with very well as humanity, you know, especially online, of that person has every right to go fix themselves and do better and mm-hmm. exist. But also I, yeah. as a person in this community, should not have to, you know,
yeah.
think now, they're great, you know, just because they did the bare minimum.
And just because somebody does something wrong doesn't mean that they are inherently a bad people. Sometimes it is a case of not being educated.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's complicated.
It is.
Okay.
It's not a cut and dry kind of thing.
Here's one. And I would definitely say this is a hot take, personally. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Okay. Good. Is it good that I'm sitting down?
I mean, it gives me strong feelings.
Okay.
Most BDSM professionals are psychopaths.
No.
Thank you. I know. Thank you. I had to say, like,
no.
No?
No.
No. Actually, kink professionals, from educators to, like, pro doms, unless they're just toxic shitheads, because those people exist, tend to be the most empathetic people I've ever come
mm-hmm.
across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me, quite the opposite.
Right.
Of what?
The thing about being a BDSM professional, or depending on how you define that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're hesitant usually to call ourselves educators, but other people have called us that often enough. I'm like, sure, we can be that. We are professionals in discussing, like, this is what we do professionally, mm-hmm. right? But also you have, like, pro-doms, and you have sex workers, and you have, like, that side of it. So it's like, okay, well, which side do you mean? And also, is it because, just like we just talked about there being abuse in BDSM, there absolutely are bad actors, even in the professional mm-hmm. level, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the people who get called out and an entire community is divided and falls apart is because it was the professional people at the top who were fucking up. So, yes, but also we're back to most. Most?
Like, yeah.
Most? No, I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No. I mean.
Somebody asked, was this sent by a troll? No, this yeah, was sent yeah. by somebody who's very enthusiastic listener and follower. And mm-hmm. no, they mm-hmm. are not a troll. I would not. Yeah. I can usually tell when those come in, and no, this was
And I mean, you know, there you're looking at, again, you're looking at where the difference falls between BDSM and abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Lola is outside letting us know that she would like to be involved in this conversation as well. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my poor girl.
Silent Wing in the live chat says, I think people just like throwing around the word, quote, psychopath without knowing what that means. And I think there's a bit of that, too. We say things like psychopath when that's not actually what we mean.
No.
So, yeah, I would. This is one I would disagree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty vehemently, like the part mm-hmm. of me that is not able to do a solid black and white yes or no is the one that goes, well, there's always an exception to everything, and bad people exist everywhere.
Right.
However, I do not think that that is some kind of universal.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay, here's one, and they labeled it unpopular opinion. Sometimes when someone is screaming at the dungeon, it makes the space uncomfortable and hard to get into a relaxed state. somebody's, you're at the dungeon, they're over there playing on their thing, and they're screaming, and you're over here trying to play on your thing, and what they're saying is it makes it hard to get into a relaxed state.
No. I have not experienced that yet. If I hear somebody screaming in the dungeon, that perks my ears up.
You're a sadist, though! So here's the thing. I can't speak to the screaming, because sometimes I am the screamer. But I can speak to the idea that sometimes the vibe that one person can get into, another person cannot. And what I mean by that is one of the times we went to one of the morning dungeon openings.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think it was a rig. It was a rope scene. It was maybe suspension. But they had gotten there first. So they were asked, what kind of music would you like to listen to that we'll put on? And it was not my fucking vibe.
No,
at all.
No, it was kind of.
And I struggled in that scene.
It was kind of a new agey kind of music they were playing.
Which, and I got so distracted by, and the lights were up because they were doing rope and they need, and where we were was, so it was brighter than it usually is, and the music was off, and my vibe was off. I never fell into that scene. That was a hard scene to get through.
But that wasn't screaming.
I think the screaming is just, here is this distraction. That's my point. Okay. Some people cannot not hear somebody scream. Mm-hmm. Some people are not going to react to screaming the way that a sadistic daddy is going to react to screaming. In my case, it's not screaming because I can't think of a time where that got me, because I know I'm going to scream. Yeah. And, you know, in the times we've gone to the dungeon and played, there were all kinds of impact noises going on, and that just ramps me up because I'm here for impact. However, I think it is absolutely possible for even the smallest detail to completely make it hard to relax and to unwind. The thing I would say is what you have to remember is the thing that is a negative distraction to you is a welcome distraction or a welcome background sound to somebody else. And that is the hard part of playing publicly. You don't get to control the vibe every time you go in. You don't get to control who is around you and how they're reacting. You don't get to tell people. Now, you don't get to tell people you can't make noise. We've been to at least a couple places where the rule was be loud, but if you are such a distraction, you're distracting everybody, a dungeon monitor will step in. But you have to be a big fucking distraction for that to occur. It's got to be over the top, however that gets defined by that space. But, you know, I think you have to go into a dungeon space knowing you're going to be surrounded by noises that you can't control and that you might not vibe with. So then you have to decide, what am I going to do about this? 99% of our dungeon experiences, I've fallen right into it. I've been good. The music's been right. And even if it wasn't right, I could deal with it. People making noise, I either fed off of it or I didn't even pay attention.
Yeah.
But I have had that experience where things were just wrong. And that was that was a tough scene to get through.
Yeah, it was. And I do remember that. And yet, you know, looking at it from that aspect, the music for what the rope scene that they were doing, it fit perfectly. So, you know,
So, okay. This person says, I don't believe in self-collaring. And we have an onyx on our recording table.
Onyx sighting.
So this person says, I don't believe in self-collaring.
That's a personal opinion.
Then don't self-collar. Don't collar yourself if you don't believe in it.
You know, there are people who do it, and they do it for the reason, you know, they are not with somebody.
Right.
But self-collaring
is meaningful.
Is meaningful to them because it helps them get in that submissive headspace without having.
And I've from what I've seen online, some people talk about it as they are taking care of themselves while they do not have a dominant partner, and this is a symbol of that they are. This is about them and what they need. And you know what? Here's the thing. I would not ever self-collar if JB was no longer whatever, or we were not power change. That is not something I would do. It does not speak to me. It doesn't vibe with me. That being said, I would never think somebody else couldn't do it. Because in kink, we're already doing things that everybody has told us that we're not allowed to do. It's deviant, it's harmful, it's abusive, right? So the last thing I'm going to do is tell somebody who is of legal age and a consenting adult that they can't do something just because I don't like it. The whole mm-hmm. world says we shouldn't do BDSM because they don't fucking like it. So I think yeah. you have every right to go, nope, not my thing. Don't like that. Mm-hmm. Don't think that's anything that I would
right.
have. Yes, because I will stand up for your right to feel that way, but I'm sure. sick going to support the person who's going to collar themselves mm-hmm. because it has meaning to them.
It's kind of the same thing. Your kink's not my kink, but your kink's okay. Mm-hmm. So if you don't believe in self-collaring, that's fine. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, but there are other people who do it, and it brings some meaning to them.
Right. Exactly. Okay, here's one. I think, we're almost to the end. I just confused myself. I screenshotted these because sometimes Instagram likes to hide shit from me, yeah. right? So I screenshotted it, and apparently I did the screenshot at 9:20 this morning, and I'm like, how have we gone back in time? What time is it really? Okay. So we're almost done here. This person says, there needs to be more gender inclusive representation. I hate that might be, somebody might think that's an unpopular opinion. I agree completely.
I do too.
We have too many stereotypes of male doms and female subs as it mm-hmm. is. Or if somebody is a female dominant, the only submissives they have are men. Like that's, it's too much. It's too much. There's too many stereotypes. So yes, I think there should be more gender inclusive representation, absolutely. Yes. Says yes. the two white people, a male dom and a female sub. I know. Okay, yeah. We are the stereotype. I fucking get it. Mm-hmm. But I hope that's not somebody's disagreeing. Like, what are we? What? The yeah. more inclusive we get, with the more types of people we get to see doing the things. One, we get to be reminded that we are not the only type of people that exist.
Right.
Two, and go ahead.
I think what I'm talking about is that, now I lost my...
Oh, I hate it when that happens. It'll come back to you.
It'll come back.
Do I remember the thing I was going to say? Probably not. I also think that, and this is true of anything and everything, but we're talking kink, right? When more types of people are represented, there will be somebody on the outskirts who did not think that that could be them, that they could do that thing because they weren't seeing anybody like themselves doing it. And so then they see somebody who's like, oh, they're a little bit like me. We share this thing in common, or that identity in common, or that gender, like whatever. And they go, wait, that means I can do it too. Now there mm-hmm. will be some ass who's like, well, you shouldn't need to see it, you know, to know you can do it. Well, that tells me you've always seen yourself reflected in the world around you. You've never had the experience of not being reflected back to you. Okay. So yes. Mm-hmm. And Silent Wing in the live chat, you know, says it's not just gender. It's disabled representation, right. BIPOC representation. Absolutely.
Yeah. It on a whole, I mean, I see it a little bit more as younger people are coming into the community, mm-hmm. Bringing a lot more a diversity,
yes,
and more openness and a forward way of thinking, mm-hmm. and I know there's some people, you know, in my age group and older who disagree with it, but you know what? It is the natural evolution. And it needs to evolve like anything else. If
we're all better for it,
it's all better for it. And there is nothing wrong with the new people coming in and putting their stamp on it and take on it. You know, I think it's frickin' hilarious that I hear people who, you know, put down furries. You know what kind of stuff? You know, don't give me that shit. Mm-hmm. Don't give me that shit, because when I first came into the community, pony play was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't tell me that.
The irony, and this is, I think this is a human thing. We get into groups and then we want to feel like we're on the in group. And so if you're in the in group, that means somebody is excluded. And not all humans obviously are like that, but it is a thing that occurs. Mm-hmm. And so it all will always boggle my mind that kinky people who are on the outside of all of the, mm-hmm. you know, the things society says are good and right and should occur yeah. all the time, would then do that to other people within our own community. I know why. I understand. It's because people do that. But also, dude, dude, you could lose your job, lose your kids, get divorced because you're fucking kinky and you're going to have a fucking issue with somebody who kinks differently than you do or looks differently than you do or lives their life differently than you do. Like, the whole thing we're doing is living our life differently from people.
Yes.
Like, I will never understand, even though I do technically, analytically, logically understand. I don't get it.
But, you know, Silent was making a thing about how, you know, more diversity, like in the dungeon, you know, instead of the 19-year-old stereotypical skinny girl. And, you know, when I first time I took you to
a
dungeon.
And if you are a 19-year-old blonde skinny girl, you're beautiful. We love you. Yes.
You know, one,
but also,
You know, one of the things you were concerned with that first time going to the dungeon was, you know, what am I walking into?
The first naked woman I saw was, no, she wasn't 19. She was model-esque, gorgeous. I went, I will keep my clothes on. Mm-hmm. That was the first person I saw. Yes. And it was I don't even care about rope that much. It was a beautiful rope scene. It was so erotic that I could have stared at that woman's body all night. Mm-hmm. But I also had that feeling of, I can't take my clothes off in here.
Yeah.
And then that scene ended.
Right.
And I don't know if the rigger kept going or if it was just the suspension thing that was there and other people stepped up to do other rope things.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a person with a body type not unlike mine get down to their underwear. And I went, and I didn't have a problem looking at the right now. Do I have a problem looking at my body every day in the fucking mirror? Yes, to this day, I still do. I know you don't like that, but I do.
Yeah.
So, I saw my body type out there, a body type I don't love. On me, but I looked at that person and went, oh my God, look at them. They're having such a good time. Oh my God, they look like me. And it was hard the first time, but that person is the reason if I'm at the dungeon or we're in a play space, a party, or something, and it's time to scene, I'm only wearing a thong, no bra, no nothing. It's tits out, stomach out, cheeks out. Okay. Yeah. Only thing I ain't out is my cooch. Okay. Like it's all out. So, but I had to go see that before I could do it.
You had to see it to know that it was, you know, so, you know, yes. Any, you go to a dungeon or anything like that, you see a wide range of people and body types.
Mm-hmm. And there need to still be more body types that we see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not everywhere, obviously, but like in the kink spaces we have been in, they are still overwhelmingly white and cis and able-bodied.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who come in who are not those things, sure, but it's not always a good, what I would consider, mix. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. So we still need that diversity. But part of the reason, as my body has gotten bigger, gotten smaller, and now we're in the bigger stage again, the reason you will still see me strip it all off, even though I don't like what I'm looking at, but it's the body I got, is because I know in every space I'm at, there's going to be somebody who was like, I can't take my clothes off. I don't look like this person, that person. I'm like, look, I got no fucking shame. He seems to like it. So here we go. I'll do it so that maybe somebody else can do it later. But also once I'm in on the cross or on the spanking bench or whatever, I do not give a fuck what I look like. I don't even think about it. And all I care about is what I'm feeling. And that's a nice experience to have of letting go of what do I look like and caring about it and only caring about what I feel like. And too many clothes will get in the way of feeling good. So I need him to have as blank of a canvas as I'm willing to do publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, I think we have one more.
Okay.
And I'll double check, no more came in, but one more of my screenshots.
All right.
Oh, this one is sweet. It wasn't even in a popular opinion.
Okay.
I usually hesitate to read these things because I'm of that generation that was told, don't toot your own horn, don't say nice things about yourself, but whatever, I'm going to do it. This person said, to be honest, I just absolutely love the podcast. You two represent and demonstrate what I seek for myself. Aww, thank you.
Thank you.
Why am I trying to back out of what is essentially a screenshot?
And you know, I'm just going to jump in because there's been some discussion about music for play. And, you know, there is a gentleman in the Florida community here who is a whip master. Fantastic person. I've met him in person several times at workshops. And his favorite music to do a whip scene to is the Bond Quartet. And if you're not familiar, they do contemporary classical. And that's what he loves to do for a scene with his whips.
I like Bond, and I would absolutely do a scene to that. That would not be a problem to me at all. Okay, if anything came through, I can no longer see it, so I think that is that's all we've.
We've done what we've done.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just tapping things on Instagram, hoping I did not miss anybody. thanks to everybody who shared your hot take, your opinion. Again, there were a couple that I'm like, no, that's an unpopular opinion, and I can see why. But I think most of the time, not all of them, but most of the time, your opinion is not as unpopular as you think it is.
Right.
There will be other people who agree with you. Sometimes that's a great thing, and sometimes maybe not so much, but you know, whatever. But yeah, I think that we are often less alone than we think we are. But yeah, so that's all for this one. We'll go into a bonus section. For anybody who normally skips out in the bonus section, that's fine. You gotta do you. We care about consent around here. But I will take this opportunity to remind you, we will be on break next week, so there will not be an episode or anything or a live stream. So if you're like, where the hell did they go? That's where we went. We're sitting in our house, hopefully just like in our underwear or something. I don't know. Except I don't wear underwear, so we got a kid at home, so I can't just sit around naked. it's the dream, but then I'd like my naked butt would be on the leather couch, and it'd probably get humid down there. And I don't know if
leather
that's
couch at any.
No,
rate.
It's a leather couch. It is.
Okay.
It's a leather couch. But I don't. And so maybe I don't want to just sit around naked on at least on the couch.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll probably get dog hair somewhere. I don't want it, and cat hair, and it just starts becoming less sexy the more I think about it. So either way, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And now we're going to go into a bonus section. Okay.
So are we good?
I don't know. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, baby girl.
I'll talk to the crickets, please.
You know what? I suppose I should probably give you permission to speak to the crickets, because if we're going to be on break next week, you're not going to have anybody to talk to, and so you probably need to get it out of your system now, right?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay.
We'll go with that. Sure. I mean, we do have Friday night's live stream.
True.
Where I'm sure we'll be as chaotic as ever.
Yeah.
I have got to stop. Podcast listeners, you don't know this. I keep touching my hair and I keep touching my face. That is bad, because we have to record like a professional thing after this live stream is over. And I don't want to have to touch up anything, but I can't stop also touching anything. So, after being a slight menace, Lola is snoring a few feet away. Like, she just got off third shift. She's over here. She's on my side.
Oh, she's on your side.
She's next to me. And I haven't seen Onyx the Menace in a few minutes.
She went back through the window.
We have to rearrange part of the office area because she is currently using our photo light box.
As a springboard.
Right. And it's dying a slow death from just, oh God. She's a very small cat, but she's got a powerful fucking chomp. So, you got anything? The 18-year-old is home for the week. I don't know if he's going to last the whole week. He's got spring break this week. And even though he's got an apartment and is only 45 minutes away, he was like, I would like to come home. And I went, oh, cool. Okay. I figured he'd stay here till he was sick of us. It hasn't occurred yet. I think part of it is he likes having access to drive the car. We are going to try to save money on auto insurance. We're going to adjust our insurance coverage. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. But not until after he's back at his apartment and not driving my car anymore. He has good coverage on his motorcycle. So when he's on that, he's fine. But I was like, no, this will not be the week I adjust coverage levels.
No.
For our auto insurance.
I think part of the reason why he has stayed around as long as he has this time is because he's going to work too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I learned? I think he probably told us, but I can't hold some information in my head. He actually chooses his hours.
Really?
He just has to get a minimum amount, and then he has a maximum amount. So he can go in at between whatever hours the place is open.
Okay.
And this is the schedule he's currently chosen. But so he just kept it. But I was like, wow, that's a lot of fucking freedom. I can't even imagine. See, I can't have parameters like that, because I will then procrastinate to the very last second.
No. Take care, X. Well, you know, I would imagine probably that may have a lot to do, you know, one, with the fact of the type of job it is.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And two, you know, the fact that where it is, the biggest pool to draw from is college students.
Sure.
You know, so you need to be a little...
Yeah, flexible. I think what they care about, knowing the type of job it is that the job gets done by a certain time frame.
Sure, sure, sure.
How and when, I don't think they give a fuck about.
Mm-hmm.
But weirdly, for all that control, pick your schedule, come in, you know, just work between this amount of hours. It's not a work from home thing. He has to go into the office. That part is strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's like, I don't hate it. And I'm like, hey, sometimes that's a win. That's a major plus that you just don't hate it. He was telling us about his job a few weeks ago. And basically, it's you go in, you sit down at a computer, you put the headphones on, and you start doing the job. And people don't talk to one another. There's no, like, hanging out at the water cooler kind of vibe. And the oldest, who's an extrovert... It's like, that's weird. The youngest went, what job is this? And how old do you have to be to work there? And I was like, did we just find your dream career? Just go sit at a computer, put headphones on, do the work, and not speak to anybody?
Yeah.
We will look for that kind of career path for you, my child. Of course, I was thinking, I kind of like that too. You mean you just expect me to go and work and I don't have to talk to no fucking body? Okay. Okay. So, nothing else really is going on. It's pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood, it's pretty quiet around here for now.
Yep.
I can't even think of anything we have coming up.
I can't believe that we talked ourselves into doing a bunch of yard work this coming weekend. When we have the hangout Friday night.
Well, we don't have to. How do we do it Sunday?
How do we do that? How do we always do that?
First of all, only you are like, what we should do is work at 7 a.m. Okay? That ain't me. I am not about that life. Never happened. Second of all, we got a whole ass weekend, and technically we could do it on Monday if we wanted. But no, the reason I even admitted, we talked about this on Monday, about doing yard work on Saturday or Sunday. And I was like, this is Monday me with all of the energy and the hopes and dreams of the Monday version of me planning for the Saturday version of me. I was like, so I might change my mind, but you know, let's work on these things. And I said, we've been working hard on a lot of things in our professional life and don't feel like we're making forward progress. I said, but when we work on the yard, we do the hard work, and then we could stand back and go, look, you could see the difference
from look the time how nice we started our yard looks.
To the time we ended. Never mind, we have to then redo that in a week or two. That we're not thinking about that. I'm just thinking I would like to be mentally and physically exhausted and see the result.
Yeah.
That's all. But Monday me is a very optimistic, semi-energetic human being. Weekend me...
Whole different story.
...is a lumpy potato on the couch opposite. Who has a book to read.
It's like opposites day.
So I don't know what'll actually happen, but you know, if I get bribed with Diet Coke and or iced coffee, a bitch can move her ass. So yeah,
right.
It's fine.
That's the carrot on the end of the string for you.
Yeah, I am both a hit me with a stick and lead me with a carrot kind of person. That's the fun part of being a masochist and a submissive. There's going to be a reward at the end. Baby girl likes. Oh, you're going to beat my ass so I don't. Masochist likes. Okay, can we do both? Can we do both? Can you hit me while I drink a Diet Coke? I mean, I'm here for this too.
May have to try that sometime.
I think we just have to be careful of the straw placement. I don't want it going up my nose or anything. So.
Anywho.
Yeah, we went and did community stuff this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first time doing that in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to a MAST meeting.
Mm-hmm. Which, remind folks what MAST stands for, please.
Masters and slaves together.
Right. Which everybody's like, but Kayla, you're not a slave. You don't have
to be. You don't have to be. You don't have to be a master or a slave.
No.
It's open to people of any dynamic.
Right. That was a nice little road trip.
Mm-hmm.
We went beyond Gainesville.
Yeah.
But stayed on the same road. And I was like, oh, this is a nice little drive. Mm-hmm. I would just make this drive to make this drive.
Well, what made it nice was going through Gainesville.
There was no students.
No students in spring break. So, you know, pretty much
smooth
sailing with no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. College town, mm-hmm. when school is in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No. Yeah, I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else I can think of. Yeah. You know what'll happen? We'll turn all this off and go, oh, yeah.
Oh, I should have.
Oh, yeah, and why didn't I? There was a whole thing I was thinking about.
Oh, and then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, so. We have Friday. We have Friday night.
That's true.
I know.
That's true.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I was about to ask, should it be an adult beverage kind of night? And then I remembered Monday me planned for Saturday me. Well, we could do all that on Sunday. And we could, you know, have an adult beverage night.
I'll think about it.
Okay. And I have a backup if the adult beverage won't work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What would
you
that
have your stash.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I get giggly. I think you giggly do. Me can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not anything that's going to make me go to sleep. Because that is not fun. I mean, unless your kink is watching somebody online snore. I know. And probably drool, I don't know. And watch the sleep crusties develop into somebody's eyes. Like, that just doesn't appeal to me, but, you know, your kink's not my kink at all. Okay. So I guess we'll go and do the thing. We have a thing we have to do after I go fix my face or I can't stop touching it and comb my hair again because I can't stop touching it.
Right.
Fidgety. Mm-hmm. We have to go be professionals on camera. Like, we have to, like, be serious and not chaotic. I wrote a fucking script. Okay. No. I didn't say we had podcast listeners. You did not see it, but Jamie glared into the camera. Not his, like,
my serious look.
No, it was not. No. Your serious look is either your Dom look, your big D face, or your I'm the annoyed parent of teenagers face.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes that face gets turned on me, you know. Whatever. Because I, too, can play the part of an annoying teenager. Don't you worry. So, anyway. Yeah, we got to go be professionals now. And not chaotic at all. God, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
We're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.